నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఫస్ట్ క్యాంటో సిక్స్త్ చాప్టర్ కన్వర్సేషన్ బిట్వీన్ నారద్ అండ్ వ్యాసదేవ్. ద ప్రీవియస్ చాప్టర్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ద ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ దట్ నారద్ ముని గేవ్ టు వ్యాసదేవ్ అబౌట్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. అండ్ అట్ ద ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ చాప్టర్ నారద్ ముని mentioned to him about his birth and how he came in contact with some Mahabhagavats, and due to their mercy he received devotion to Krishna. He got to know about spiritual life and the importance of developing a loving relationship with Krishna and the importance of chanting the glories of the name, fame, pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now it is going to the conversation between Narad Muni and Vyasadev. Vyasadev asked Narad Muni, what did you do after that, after you received the mercy of the Bhakti Vedantas? And so in this chapter Narad Muni is describing that how after that Narad Muni mother, Narad Muni's only attachment was to his mother, and it was a very deep attachment because she was a widow and Narad Muni was his only shelter, her only shelter. And Narad Muni then naturally was very, very attached, and she was maybe very attached to him. And then how one day while she was going to milk the cows, she got bitten by a snake and she died. And now Narad Muni is free. Although a little boy, he was only about 5 years old at that time. But he considers that Krishna had freed him from all material attachments. So Narad Muni left home and started to travel towards north. And after long travel, Narad Muni came to a solitary place in a forest. Under a banyan tree he sat down to meditate upon the Lord, and meditate upon the Lord the way those saintly personalities instructed him. And very quickly Narad Muni had the darshan of the Lord. But then the Lord disappeared, and Narad Muni's meditation broke and he jumped up and he wanted to see the Lord again. And he tried to see the Lord in the core of his heart. It has been described in the lotus of his heart. The heart has been compared to a lotus. Reet Kamal. Kamal means lotus and Reet means heart. So Narad Muni saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead there in his heart. But after that, after various endeavors, he could not see him again. But he heard the voice of the Lord, and he told him that, Narad, in this life you won't see me again, but in your next life you will become my associate. So then Narad Muni received his spiritual enlightenment, his spiritual body. And at the end of that millennium, when the everything was destroyed. Even Lord Brahma went back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead along with the demigods and the sages. Then, when the new millennium began, Narad Muni was born out of Brahma along with the other sages, Pulastha, Pulaha, Kratu, Angira, Marichi, Daksha, and in this life Narad Muni was a pure devotee of the Lord, and he received the Veena from the Lord also. He received the Veena, the musical instrument that Narad Muni plays. And with the Veena, Narad Muni sings the glory of the Lord, and he travels around everywhere singing the glories of the transcendental name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord. So in this way we can see that how Srimad Bhagavatam is actually giving the factual descriptions of happening. Srimad Bhagavatam is not a story. Somebody imagines something. Everything is so well linked that one cannot, when one reads Srimad Bhagavatam, one cannot possibly have any doubt that Srimad Bhagavatam is narrating nothing but the truth, nothing but the absolute truth. And not only Srimad Bhagavatam, all the Vedic scriptures are like that. They're describing about the factual happenings. And it is so scientific, this understanding is so scientific. From these narrations, we can see that how one can develop devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. Very quickly one can receive the devotion to the Lord and achieve perfection in his devotional practice by the mercy of the devotee of the Lord. And then how the Lord becomes manifest in the heart, and what happens when one sees the Lord, what actually happens. And also another important thing that we understand here is that perceiving the Lord is not a matter of our own endeavor. It is the mercy of the Lord that one can see the Lord. Like Narad Muni achieved perfection of his meditation. And he saw the Lord, but that was just for a short while, not again, although he tried, he could not see. So in this way, a very scientific process is revealed. The process is revealed in this way. So now we can just read the verses, the translation. Sutta said, O Brahmanas, thus hearing all about Sri Narada's birth and activities, Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God, and the son of Satyavati, inquired as follows. Sri Vyasadeva said, what did you do after the departure of the great sages who had instructed you in scientific transcendental knowledge before the beginning of your present birth? O son of Brahma, how did you pass your life after initiation? And how did you attain this body, having quit your old one in due course? O great sage, time annihilates everything in due course. So how is it that this subject matter which happened prior to this day of Brahma is still fresh in your memory? undisturbed by me. So here also we can see that when Brahma falls asleep at the end of the day, then everything is practically destroyed. When Brahma falls asleep, everyone falls asleep. And when here it has been described that when Brahma falls asleep, he goes into the body of Brahma. And so then in response, Narad Muni said, "The great sages who had imparted scientific knowledge of transcendence to me departed for other places, and I had to pass my life in this way. I was the only son of my mother, who was not only a simple woman, but a maidservant as well. Since I was her only offspring, she had no other alternative for protection. She bound me with a tie of affection. The more the dependence, the more the attachment." So since there was no, although he was a child, but he was the only shelter of the mother. So the mother became very, very attached. "She wanted to look after my maintenance properly, but because she was not independent, she was not able to do anything for me. The world is under the full control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of a puppet master." So although the mother was a maidservant, but the mother naturally, like any other mother, whether poor or rich, wants to take care of the child in the best possible way. So he is saying she wanted to look after my maintenance properly, but because she was not independent, she was not able to do anything for me. So he practically was brought up without any care, without proper facilities. The mother is a maidservant, she was busy serving. She didn't have the time, and he was the only son, and she was the only one who could actually take care of him. But although, so this way we can see that material difficulties are good for our spiritual advancement. Rather, on the other hand, the material enjoyment or material facilities are detrimental to our spiritual advancement. Unless we have some material difficulties, we will not think of getting rid of material nature. Even if someone may be very rich, but still he faces material difficulties, and that material difficulty actually pushes him to take to Krishna consciousness, to surrender unto Krishna. A very wonderful example for that is Buddhadev, Siddhartha. He was the son of a king. And not only he was the son of a king, because it was foretold that he may leave home. So his father, Suddhodana, decided that generally people become detached from materialistic way of life due to misery, due to suffering. So he decided that I won't let my son know what suffering is. So he just kept him in absolute luxury and comfort. And he was not allowed to go out of the palace, because the father was afraid that if he goes out of the palace, who knows what will happen. Then he was married in course of time. So he grew up, a young man, he got married, he even had a son. And for the first time, Siddhartha was allowed to leave the palace compound. And he was going out in a chariot. For the first time, he saw an old man. And he asked his chariot driver, Mataji, "So who is that?" body bent like that and wrinkles, skin is wrinkled. And so he said, well, that is an old man. What is an old man? And he explained what is an old man. Buddha had never seen an old man before. For the first time he saw an old man. And he asked, what is, and Matali explained, old man, when the body becomes old, like this is what happens. It loses all the strength and vitality. Then he asked, will that happen to me also? The chariot driver said, yes, someday you also will become old. So then after a while, Buddha saw that one man is writhing in pain. He is crying out of pain. The Buddha asked, what happened to him? What is that? Why he is doing like this? So he said that, well, that is, he got disease. His disease, what is disease? So he explained what disease was. And so Buddha asked, will that happen to me also? He said, yes. Someday it will happen when your body becomes old. That's what will happen. You'll get disease. Then after a while they found that people were carrying somebody. So he asked, what is that? And Matali said, that's a dead body. What's a dead body? So he explained what death was. And Buddha asked, will that happen to me also? So that will happen to you also. Buddha said, stop the chariot. And he took off his crown, his royal robes. And he said, go back to the palace and tell them that I am leaving to find out a way to conquer this old age, disease and death. So, although he did not suffer, but mentally he could see the suffering. And he knew that this suffering was inevitable, therefore. So it is due to such shock of the futility, or rather such a shocking awareness of the futility and the miserable condition of the material existence, that one becomes serious about spiritual life, or finding out about the spiritual life. Like when Srila Prabhupada went to America, America also was in the grip of such a miserable condition. Although in America, like, there is a lot of money, a lot of comfort, and especially in the mid-60s, America was the height of prosperity. There was so much material enjoyment available for them. But at the same time, the youth of America saw that money cannot buy everything. There was no family line. Father didn't care, fathers don't care of their children. Their mothers were not concerned on having an affair with somebody else. And then and then on top of that, America got involved in the Vietnam War. And the youth of America were forced to join the army, were drafted. They were drafted to join the army, to fight in Vietnam. So that's the time they realized the futility of material existence. In spite of having everything, their life was miserable. So they decided to look for a counterculture. What is the solution to this problem? And at that time Srila Prabhupada came and gave them the solution to the problem. Therefore, for a devotee, or rather for an intelligent person, misery is actually desirable. Suffering is desirable. Because more you suffer, more you become fixed up in spiritual life. Jaya Shri Shri Krishna Balaram. Yeah. जय श्री श्री गौनीताई की जय, जय श्री श्री राधा राधा मदन मोहन ललिता विशाखा देवी की जय, गौर प्रेम। So here also we see that Narada Muni, as a little child, must have been suffering. He wanted to have the association with his mother, didn't get that. And then he came across the Bhaktivedanta, and he took great interest in them. His mother was serving him, and he came across them, and he also was spending his time with them. And then he received their mercy, first in the form of Mahaprasad, Mahaprasad, and then in the form of spiritual instruction. When I was a mere child of 5 years, I lived in a Brahmana school. I was dependent on my mother's affection and had no experience of different lands. Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent influenced by supreme time. I took this as the special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benediction for his devotees. And so thinking, I started for the north. After my departure, I passed through many flourishing metropolises, towns, villages, animal farms, mines, agricultural lands, valleys, flower gardens, nursery gardens, and natural forests. I passed through hills and mountains full of reservoirs of various minerals like gold, silver, and copper, and to tracts of land with reservoirs of water filled with beautiful lotus flowers, fit for the denizens of heaven, decorated with bewildered bees and singing birds. I then passed alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo reeds, sharp grass, weeds and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark and dangerous, fearful forests, which were the plague yards of snakes, owls and jackals. Thus travelling, I felt tired, both bodily and mentally, and I was both thirsty and hungry. So I took a bath in a river lake and also drank water. By contacting water, I got relief from my exhaustion. After that, under the shadow of a banyan tree in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the super soul situated within, using my intelligence as I had learned from living souls. So here also we can see that just meditation cannot give us spiritual perfection. The meditation must be upon the super soul. And super soul is the representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart. Super soul is the heart. And that meditation also must be directed by a qualified spiritual master. So just meditation like that is not of any use. Nowadays the way the meditation goes on, people, they're gross atheists. Even the instructor is an atheist and he is teaching them how to meditate. And just a waste of time. What do they gain? They may get some momentary relief of some physical difficulty. Nowadays meditation is becoming very, very popular all over. This is the Indian commodities are being marketed abroad. This is one commodity. But these people do not have any understanding of what meditation is. The bunch of atheists, they're just going out misleading people. Because they themselves are blind, so how can they give direction to others? Blind leading other blinds to a ditch. They're becoming very popular. This Baba, that Baba, that Guru, that Yogi. But they're not spiritually enlightened. So here you can see what to meditate upon and where to meditate. Narakuni just didn't go and sit down to meditate. First to travel. Traveling is important. Before one gets into meditation, one needs to travel like that, all by himself. In this way, he becomes free from his material bondage. Traveling is good to become free from material bondage. If we stay at one place, we get attached. But, I mean, I noticed, like, even after taking to spiritual life, so easily we can become attached. Therefore, it is better to travel. No room for attachment. No possibility. And especially when one wanders like that, on foot, and you can see Narada Muni travels, although a little boy, he travels so extensively for so long. And then only he sat down to meditate. Why? Because by this travel, his attachment to material comfort or material, or all his material attachments were given up. Or mostly it was given up. We can see that when one travels like that, as is described, traveling through the forest, which is the playground of ferocious animals, snakes, lions, tigers, go through that and see how it feels. So this is how a spiritualist used to first travel to rid himself of all these material attachments and become free from fear. Their fear, shame, these are the impediments. But when one is traveling, it's very easy to get rid of them. When one is traveling, nobody knows you. There is nothing to be ashamed of. If we travel through this deep forest and all, and we gather so much experience also. We gather so much experience meeting people. It gives us so much information about this world. And also it gives us the experience of how people are and what life is like. And then, when one is considerably free from material attachment, then one can sit down and start to meditate. And what was he meditating upon? The Lord in the heart. He was not thinking that, oh, make your mind better. Don't think. That is not meditation. Don't think. How cannot the mind not think? Mind must think. That's the business of mind. To try to make the mind not to think is not going to work. So what is the way to overcome this influence of the mind? Think of Krishna. No question of no thinking, but think of Krishna. And if it is a matter of no thinking, then don't think of bad things. But how can you not think about the bad things? Only by thinking about good things. So mind must think of. So that is the real meditation. Don't think about other things. Don't think about sense gratification. Don't think about establishing yourself in this world for the sake of distinction, adoration and profit. Just think of Krishna. So, Narada Muni is saying, after that, under the shadow of a banyan tree, in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the super soul situated within. Using my intelligence as I had learned from the liberated soul. Those Bhaktivedantas, those liberated souls instructed him, the way they instructed him, according to that instruction, he was meditating on the Lord in the heart. As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, with my mind transformed in transcendental love. So this is another very important point. Mind transformed in transcendental love. So mind is transformed. How? Mind is spiritualized. How? By developing the love. And when we are in love with the Lord, then the mind will automatically think of it. Then tears roll down my eyes, and without delay, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna appeared on the lotus of my heart. O Vasudev, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. And due to his ecstasy, he couldn't see the Lord. Or he couldn't see himself. The transcendental form of the Lord as it is satisfies the mind's desire and at once erases all mental incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly got up, being perturbed, as is usual when one loses that which is desirable. I desired to see again the transcendental form of the Lord, but despite my attempts to concentrate upon the heart with eagerness to view the form again, I could not see him anymore, and thus dissatisfied, I was very much aggrieved. Seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all mundane descriptions, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words, just to mitigate my grief. O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and who are not completely free from all material pains can hardly see me. O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me, because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. The more you hanker for me, the more you will become free from material desires. So that is the purpose. The more you hanker for me, the more you become free from all material desires. Now, we can consider, like Narada Muni, we can see that he was already so pure. Even as a child, he was not interested in frivolous sports. He was serious, he didn't speak unless it was necessary. He was self-controlled even as a child, 5-year-old. Then he received the mercy of this exalted saintly personality. Then he became free from his material attachment by the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, because his mother died. And then he traveled for so long, and then he started to meditate and he could see the Lord in the core of his heart. And still the Lord is saying that you are not purified enough to see me or see me again. So that is how difficult it is to become purified. And similarly we can see that this, through the process of yoga, unless and until we become completely purified, we will not be able to see the Lord in the heart. So that is how difficult this process of yoga is. Unless and until one becomes completely purified. Narada Muni got to see the Lord out of the Lord's causeless mercy. To intensify his desire to see the Lord just gave him a momentary glance, momentary vision. But Narada, and he instructed that you need to become more pure, since you have to become purified from all your material attachments and desires. So how difficult it must be to become free from all material. Where is devotional service? In devotional service there is no consideration of purity or impurity. Even if we are impure, we can render devotional service. And by rendering devotional service, we become pure. And when we render devotional service, we get the association. And most important thing is that at that time, when we are rendering service unto the Lord, we are not so interested in seeing Him. Rather, we are only concerned about rendering the service unto Him. Whether we see Him or not doesn't matter. We know that He is there, and we know that He will be pleased if we render service unto Him. And we know that although we are not able to see Him, but He is seeing us. So whether we see Him doesn't become important. What becomes important is that He is seeing us. So that is the difference between the process of yoga and process of bhakti. The bhakti is so easily executed. So easily executed. In order to become a devotee, we don't have to travel to the place all over the world alone. We don't have to undergo various austerities and penances. We can just be wherever we are. We can do whatever we are doing. And still we can render devotional service. By serving the Absolute Truth even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material worlds. So here we can see by service of the Absolute Truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. So, this is the potency of devotional service. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Lalita Vishakhati Ki. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki. So here we can see that after attaining the yoga, perfection of yoga, one comes to the platform of devotion. So here, sat sevaya, the word used here is sat sevaya, by service of the Absolute Truth. So Krishna himself is instructing that by service of the Absolute Truth, adirghaya, for some days, not for a very long time, or dirghaya, not for long. Intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time, even at the time of creation as well as the time of annihilation. Your remembrance will continue by my mercy. So intelligence engaged in my devotion. When we fix our intelligence in devotional service, when we use our intelligence to plan how we are going to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be thwarted by time. That is, even after death, it will continue. Even after annihilation, that in that spiritualized intelligence will remain. Even at the time of creation, as well as at the time of annihilation, your remembrance will continue by my mercy. Then that supreme authority personified by sound and unseen by eyes, but most wonderful, stop speaking, feeling a sense of gratitude. I offer my obeisances unto him, bowing my head. Thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation, ignoring all the formalities of the material world. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are benedictory. So doing, I traveled all over the earth, fully satisfied, humble, and unenvious. And so, O Brahmana Vasudev, in due course of time, I, who was fully absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and who therefore had no attachment, being completely free from all material things, met with death, as lightning and illumination occurred simultaneously. A very beautiful example how enlightenment comes with death. So lightning and illumination. Lightning flashes and along with that comes illumination. Similarly, along with death came the spiritual enlightenment. Having been awarded a transcendental body, befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of five material elements, and thus all acquired fruitive results of work stopped. Karma stopped. At the end of the millennium, when the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, lay down within the water of devastation, Brahma began to enter into him, along with all creative elements, and I also entered through his breathing. So when at the time of devastation, the Lord lies down within the water of devastation. And at that time Brahma also entered into him along with all creative elements. So at that time the whole creation was destroyed. The entire creation was annihilated. Even the elements, there was nothing left. All the elements also disappeared. After 4,300,000 solar years, when Brahma awoke to create again by the will of the Lord, all the rishis like Marichi, Angira, Atri and so on were created from the transcendental body of the Lord, and I also appeared along with them. So Sahasra Yuga Parjanta is a day of Brahma, right? That Sahasra Yuga, one Yuga is 4,032,000 years. So, no, 4,320,000. And multiplied by 1,000 is 4,320,000,000 years. So that is the time when Brahma goes to sleep. So after that, since then, by the grace of the Almighty Vishnu, I traveled everywhere without restriction, both in the transcendental world and in the three. Okay, at that time, along with the Brahman's mental son, Pulastha Pulaha, Angira, Morichi, Atri, Narad Muni also appeared as his youngest son. Since then, by the grace of the Almighty Vishnu, I travel everywhere without restriction, both in the transcendental world and in the three divisions of the material world. This is because I am fixed in unbroken devotional service of the Lord. And thus I travel constantly singing the transcendental message of the glories of the Lord, vibrating the instrument called a veena, which is charged with transcendental sound and which was given to me by Lord Krishna. So Narad Muni's veena was given to him by Krishna himself. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant his holy activity. It is personally experienced by me that those who are always full of cares and anxieties due to desiring contact of the senses with their objects can cross the ocean of material nations on a most suitable boat. The constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. It is true that by practicing restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of desire and lust. But this is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul. For this satisfaction is derived from the devotional service to the personality of Godhead. Another very important point to note. It is true that by practicing restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of desire and lust. But this is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul. By austerities and penances that goes with the yoga system can give relief from the impediments like lust, greed, anger, etc. But it cannot give total satisfaction to the soul. What can give satisfaction to the soul? Jayatma suprashivati. Suprashirati. Real satisfaction to the soul comes from Jato Bhaktir Adhukshan. Devotion unto the Supreme Personality. O Vyasadeva, you are freed from all sins. Thus I have explained my birth and activities for self-realization as you asked. All this will be conducive for your personal satisfaction also. Sutta Goswami said, thus addressing Vyasadeva, Srila Narad Muni took leave of him, and vibrating on his veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. All glory and success to Srila Narad Muni, because he glorifies the activities of the personality of Godhead, and so doing, he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distressed souls of the universe. So thus ends the sixth chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. entitled Conversation Between Narada and Vyasadeva. So tomorrow we'll do the seventh chapter. So in this way we can see how Narada Muni became an eternal associate of the Lord through the devotional service unto his lotus. There is another incident which will come afterwards. Narada Muni in his previous life, previous to that life, he was a Gandharva known as Upavardhan. And because he made a mistake by not participating in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, he was cursed to take birth in the earth. He lost his right to remain in the higher planetary system, Swargaloka, and fell to the Martaloka. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question?
In this particular chapter it says that Narada Muni, after hearing from the Lord, he feels a sense of gratitude, out of which he chants and sings the glories of the Lord. So actually even in ISKCON there are people with a group of devotees who actually say that, you know, this gratitude is not coming from bhakti. So trying to cultivate
what is non different from bhakti?
Gratitude.
Yes. Is non different from bhakti.
Yes. And trying to cultivate gratitude.
Gratitude to whom?
To Krishna. And trying to cultivate the gratitude is actually a very essential part of our day-to-day life. And you know, this understanding, like, so I just want to ask how far this understanding.
Yeah, okay, I got the point. Well, gratitude, to be grateful to the Lord is important to develop our faith in Him, develop our love for Him. But that is not devotional service. Because devotional service is activity, active, to do something. That's what is devotional service. But just being grateful to the Lord is not equal to devotion. It is more like, it's a state of mind, submissive attitude. The gratitude helps to develop the submissive attitude. But this attitude alone is not enough. Right? It has to be active service, either physically or mentally. Okay, fine, you became grateful to the Lord. And then what? Then what will you do? Sit down and say, thank you, Krishna. Or you are going to show your gratitude. What can I do for you, Krishna? You have done so much for me. Now what can I do? Right? That is devotion. What can I do for you? How can I please you? Hare Krishna. Any other question? Okay.
Actually, it explains here in the chapter also that how Narada Muni came from the world, Lord Brahma, along with so many other cities. So, you explained that this was when Brahma went to sleep. It is also when Brahma was supposed to sleep, with partial animation of the Swargaloka.
No, from this description we can see that when Brahma goes to sleep, even Mahatattva also, everything dissolves. Mahatattva described that Brahma, along with the elements of creation, ingredients for creation, entered into the Lord. We won't be able to understand it. I mean, what it is like. The first thing we have to consider that Brahma's body is not a gross body like ours. He has a gross body, but that gross body is also very subtle. That when Brahma falls asleep, Brahma actually goes to. Like when we fall asleep, sorry, when we fall asleep, we also go back to the Lord, Sri Radha Vishnu, Sukhasu. We come very close to Sukhasu. Then is our body there or not? A body is there, but because our body is so gross that it remains in its gross form. But it seems that Brahma's body is so subtle that when he falls asleep, falling asleep means going close to the Lord. So when Brahma goes, falls asleep, his body also goes to the Lord. Okay. Yes. Devotional service has two aspects, sadhana bhakti and prema bhakti. So when we are not pure, we are rendering devotional service. So it is devotional service in practice. Now this practicing devotional service, we become purified. And when you become purified, then it becomes prema bhakti. When the soul becomes purified, then it becomes prema bhakti, the pure devotional service. So devotional service can be rendered at any stage, even when we are impure. Doesn't matter how impure we are, we can still render devotional service. And by rendering devotional service, we will become purified. And when we become purified, then it will become pure devotional service. Yes. Like devotional service is like a medicine. So somebody has a disease, and if he takes the medicine will cure him. Not that first he will have to become cured of the disease and then take the medicine. So all these are actually the symptoms of disease. Lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, envy. So these are the symptoms of disease. Now if you take the medicine, symptoms also will disappear. When the disease is cured, the symptom will automatically disappear. Yes, Jamunathi? I didn't get the question.
I was wondering, like, Swami is going to be saying he is a devotee. So, could you, in that mind, could you explain what Swami meant when he said he was fixing to devotee?
Towards the end of this chapter, Narad Muni is telling Vyasadeva that because you are pure, I told you about my spiritual development. You see, otherwise Narad Muni wouldn't have said it. But because Vyasadev was, I'll repeat that. That verse. O Vasudev, you are freed from all sins, the verse 36 of the 6th chapter. O Vasudev, you are freed from all sins. Thus I have explained my birth and activities for self-realization as you asked. Because you are free from sins, I told you. Right? For your benefit. Although it is embarrassing for me to speak like that. Although I would not like to speak like this, but I spoke in this way because you are free from sin. I confidentially revealed it to you, although it is not very palatable for me to do so.
Perfect.
As opposed to?
As opposed to the Supreme. So everybody has a relationship with the Supreme and the Soul in the heart. So I want to know how the manifestation of that relationship with the Super Soul in the heart.
Manifestation of the Super Soul in the heart.
Of the relationship.
Yeah. You see, as long as there is no relationship, it's a Super Soul. He is the Super Soul. When the relationship develops, then he is not Super Soul anymore. Then he is Bhagavan. You get it? Okay, in this respect I just... Anyway, I was thinking of telling something about my experience with Srila Prabhupada, but I decided not to. Okay, since it came to the tip of my tongue. Because I was thinking that, as you just mentioned, that one doesn't actually speak about these experiences. In Vrindavan, one day I was with Srila Prabhupada, and just on the wall behind Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was sitting on his bed, and I was sitting on the floor. And at the behind Srila Prabhupada on the wall, there was this picture of the Super Soul in the heart, the forearm, Vishnu standing on the lotus. So I just was looking at that, and then I asked Srila Prabhupada whether Krishna is present in everyone's heart in his forearm form. And the point was that Krishna is present in everyone's heart as a Super Soul. Prabhupada said, no, in your heart, he is in his two-arm form. because we are devotees, in our hearts, devotees' hearts, the Lord is not in his forearm, Super Soul form. He is as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he is present on the altar. So, yeah, the explanation will be like this. See, Krishna goes with a living entity. When a living entity leaves the spiritual sky and comes to material nature, Krishna goes with him in the heart. It has been described as there in the heart, he is the Upadrashta and Anumanta. He is the witness, and he is the one who sanctions the desires. Upadrashta Anumantacha. But when one develops his devotion to the Lord, say through the perfection of yoga, one sees the Super Soul in the heart. Now when he sees the Super Soul, then what happens? He sees the Super Soul, and in that light he sees himself as the Spirit Soul. So what is the natural tendency of the minute when he comes across someone very great? When an insignificant person comes across someone very great, how does he feel? He feels humble. And he naturally surrenders unto him. That surrender is called Sharanagati. Surrender. And that Sharanagati is the foundation of devotion. It is from Sharanagati that the devotion will live. Bhakti begins with Sharanagati. So when one begins to render service to the Supreme Personality of God with love, then can Krishna just stand there as an inactive witness? Or Krishna is naturally forced to reciprocate. Through devotion, Krishna begins to reciprocate. And through that reciprocation, because of that reciprocation, he is not super soul anymore. He is the Supreme Personality of God. Either in his Narayan Vaikuntha form or his Vrindavan form. So that is how, for a devotee, the Lord in the heart is not the super soul. He is the Supreme Personality of God. Because when he begins to reciprocate, then he is not super soul anymore. He is the Supreme Personality of God. Hare Krishna. All the, yes, Raghav Pandit. Jainism is from, there is no, Jainism also is, you can say, an offshoot of Vedic culture. So it is, like, it has taken from that, that prior probation, preparing to give up his body. It's the same. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gold, pink,